Okay, I want to welcome everybody back. Beginning, God willing, a new year. You know, the year of Zman in the yeshivas, this Zman begins in Elul. So we begin our new Zman as well, a new year of learning, a new year of study, and hopefully a new year of growth for each of us. Halavai. And I thought I would try to focus a little bit. I would try to focus a little bit on the theme of tshuva, but from the perspective of dealing with children. You know, not everybody, most people here have children and grandchildren. I don't think everybody has children here, but that's okay, because the themes are universal, and they relate to all of us. And sometimes you read a parsha in the Torah, and it's like, well, that's very nice. That has nothing to do with me, really. But we'll soon see that the themes have a lot to do with us, a tremendous amount to do with us, and they teach us a great, great deal. Okay, we're beginning Kikeche on page 1046. Hello, Mrs. Perkins.
Hi.
Isn't there one there?
Yeah, there are sheets. There are more sheets, I think. Should be. Okay.
Then
1046. Says the Torah. By the way, we're back on now for Tuesdays for the foreseeable future. I can, you know, God willing, we'll be able to have a shiur.
By the way, those of us who are not members of the shiur were not notified at all.
We were not notified. So then we need to create our list. We should have a list.
I wasn't notified.
Last week when they were...
I had scheduled... I apologize. I apologize. Except we had announced that there would be no shiur for 2 weeks the week before I left.
That's true.
We had announced that. So I apologize for the misunderstanding.
I did notify some people who didn't believe me.
Okay. I apologize for that, and God willing, we will try to avoid that in the future. We'll try to avoid that in the future.
Maybe I can take the names and numbers, and I can be
afraid of
that.
Well, you have enough afraid. Okay. Kitei la milchama al oyvecha. Let's say you go out to war against your enemy. Unesano Hashem elokecha biyadecha v'shavisa shivyo. So God places your enemies in your hands, and you take captives. You capture. Right? That's what happens if you go out to war. Right? The people, they surrender. What do you do with the people that surrender? You take them as prisoners. V'ra'isa b'shivyo eshes yifas tawar. And you see in her captivity, eshes yifas tawar.
Beautiful woman.
A woman who is a beautiful form. Interesting. How would you translate literally the words Eshes Yifas Toar?
I'd say a beautiful woman.
But that's not a, that's an Isha Yafa.
And Yifas Toar doesn't mean...
No. Eshes Yifas Toar.
A form of...
What does it mean? Oh, here we go. Dora, what does it mean, the Ta'er?
To...
Describe.
Oh, excellent. So what does Eshes Yifas Toar? A woman
is nice.
What? A woman, that is absolutely correct. A woman of beautiful description. As opposed to, so what is the difference between an Eshet Yifat Toar and Isha Yafa?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Wow, that's
for a beautiful woman, I mean, a beautiful form can be of, you know, whatever is appealing to the person who's describing it.
Okay.
She could be...
So then, well, what's an Isha Yafa? What is a beautiful woman?
That's a woman with beautiful inside.
Ah, thank you very much. I thought that would be easy.
Ah.
Right?
Well, how
in Isha Yafa, the Torah cannot describe a foreign woman who dresses herself up so that she will entice her captive. That's not an Isha Yafa. That is not a Torah definition of a beautiful woman. She might be beautiful physically, but she's not a beautiful woman.
Inside.
What's the definition of a beautiful woman? So that's an Eshet Yifat Toar. Oh, she's got eyes that I couldn't go crazy about. And, you know, it struck me yesterday. The New York Times, I get the New York Times. Anybody here get the New York Times? Yeah? So, Mrs. Hirsch, did you notice there was an insert in the New York Times for a magazine that they're coming out with? It was an orange and pink insert. The New York Times coming out with a new magazine called T. The magazine T. What is it? It's a new style and luxury magazine for all the beautiful things that wonderful people like to enjoy in life today. You know, and I said to Rena, she didn't even know what I thought. I said, Rena, another example that shows us that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. The New York Times is publishing a magazine of luxurious, wonderful things that exemplify the ultimate in style. That could tell you what people like, but they can't tell you what people are like.
Well, if you look at the television, you can see what people like. And
it's all external. It's all physical.
That's all
they focus on.
99% garbage. Maybe one or two.
Oh, I have to tell you, a very interesting lesson from my vacation. Thank you for the digression. So we don't have broadcast television in my home, mostly because it's too much of a waste of time. So when I go on vacation, I like to, you know, I can sit back and waste a good couple of hours, no problem.
Well, that's what vacation is.
Yeah, that's what vacation is for, right. So we get to the hotel, and it's, you know, in a Hilton hotel, very nice, Priceline.com, wonderful. And I sit down, we put the kids to sleep 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I turn on the TV, and I'm clicking channels, and I'm clicking channels. There is nothing to watch. I was disappointed. Here I am. I want to watch something. I want to veg out and do nothing. There was nothing to watch. Maybe I've moved beyond, but it's all.
You can pay for the movie.
Oh, you could buy and pay for the movie. Yeah.
The movie's good.
I'm too cheap. I'm way too cheap. $3.95 in a hotel is $12.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But I was shocked. I was shocked at how little there is to watch.
Well, C-SPAN is interesting.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. In Cleveland, we were in Cleveland. Okay.
Wait,
so therefore, that's why they call her Ayesat Tohar, because she's beautiful, externally beautiful, but beauty, in the Torah's definition, speaks of a spiritual beauty, a depth of beauty, an internal beauty, right? Shakira Sayin Behevel Yofi Isha Yirat Hashem Hititala. So the Torah could not say Ra'ita Bashivya Es Isha Yafa. Because God, Moshe couldn't get the words out of his mouth, beautiful woman, about a woman who does not represent the values of Torah. You know, we just lost, shockingly, Mrs. Waslowski. Last week she passed away. Today's the last full day of Shiva for Mrs. Waslowski. And just to hear the things that the children say about her, and about the things that she did, and when you talk about values, you know, I never knew Mrs. Waslowski as a young woman. I can't tell you how physically attractive she was, but she was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman who stood for something and represented something and transmitted those values to her children and to her grandchildren. We'll continue. Okay. The Chashak Daba, and you, Cheshek, you have a desire for her. V'lakachta lecha li'isha, and you take her for a wife. And you take her into your house. V'gilcha et rosha, you save her head. V'ashita et shiporneha. What does that mean? V'ashita et shiporneha. What do we look to? What? Rashi. Rashi. Look at Rashi. Second to last. Very nice. Second to last line in the first column. V'ashita et shiporneha. Tegadlem kidei shetinavel. You let them grow so that she should not be pretty. Back in the Torah, Yud Gimel, Veheshira et Shimlat Shivya Me'aleha, and you take off her captivity clothing from on her, V'yashva V'beitecha, and she should sit in your house, U'vachla es Aviya V'eshima Yerech Yamim, and she'll cry for her mother and her father for a month. And only then can you live with her, and then you have to marry her. So what does it mean? Why do you take off her dress of captivity? Why do you take that off? Rashi, last line in the first column of Rashi. Now this is only according to Rashi Shah. There are other mafarshim, but we're going to stick with Rashi. So it's good to stick to Rashi. What kind of dress is she wearing?
The country that she was living in.
What kind of dress? Why? Why? And Miriam says enticing. Why?
so that they won't kill her, so that she appears to be attractive, so that she appears to be wanted by the...
Rashi?
That she won't be a
fat tummy. The fi naim, what kind of dress was she wearing? I mean, the best example you could, I could give you is, if you remember, like, you know, the old MASH or the Vietnam War movies that they show you, you know, how the Vietnamese women dress up when the GIs would come in.
Provocative.
Very provocative, right? Shehagoyim... Binotehem mitkashot b'milchama, their daughters, the nations of the world, their daughters get dressed up in war. Bishvil hazanot acherim imahem, for zinus, for immoral purposes. So says the Torah, Rashi says, you gotta take that dress off her. She made up her hair. When you saw her the first time, she was all dolled up, she had the makeup, her nails were all manicured and pretty. Fine. She was an eshet yifat toar. So what happens when you have an eshet yifat toar?
Got to strip her of all those outside traffic.
Correct. So what happens is, you know, people are human beings. So the man sees, and the man wants. Now, this is very interesting. Why does Yifat Tohar, the halacha of Yifat Tohar, appear in the context of war? It's Ki Teitei La Milchama, when you go out to war. So the Torah specifically gives us this issue, this mitzvah, when it comes to war. Let's look at Rashi 1 second. V'lakachta l'cha li'isha. See Rashi in the fourth line in the first column. You take her as a wife. Rashi is on the right-hand side. The right-hand column in the Rashis, you take her for a wife. Yeah. Michelle, are you with me?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Lo dibra Torah ella kineged yetzer hara. Does God want you to take this woman as a wife?
No, it's like this.
What?
Yeah.
God wants you to?
No.
Ah, so in the Torah, when you read the Torah, it seems like it says, yeah, you're in the war, you see the woman, you take her in.
Yeah.
Rashi says, nothing doing. The Torah is only speaking kineged yetzer hara. She'im ha'ein hakadosh baruch hu matira, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't permit it, yisa'ena b'iser. You'll do it anyway. You'll do it anyway. About Inas Ah, but if you marry her, Shofo the Yos Shon Ah. I'm telling you, in the end, you're going to hate her.
What?
If you marry her, you're going to hate her. We'll go back to this Rashi in a little bit. We're going to come back to this Rashi. Very, very, very important Rashi.
Why will you hate her?
We'll talk about it.
She doesn't know how to cook Jewish meals.
There's a lot of truth to that, that's right. She doesn't speak your language, there's nothing. Nothing. It's a very interesting Rashi. The Torah gives us in the context of war. You're in the middle of the battle, you're in the middle of the war. It is very interesting to note. One second. It's very interesting to note that in the context of war, people do interesting things. Now, what is on the headlines in the news today?
About this couple that got married. I'm just going to say.
No, I'm not talking about that headline. Is another headline?
It was interesting that a woman who this GI found as a washmate, as a hireling in the palace of Saddam Hussein.
Really? He married her?
He just got married, yes.
Oh, you found a story in the newspaper. That's what I was talking about. They're talking now in the headlines, they're having this trial for the people that were in the Abu Ghraib prison.
Oh, yeah.
Abu Ghraib prison. So you ask yourself, how could it be? Here you have people, you bring them back to America, they live in, you know, Ypsilanti. And you tell them, you know, you see that guy in the street, I want you to degrade him in a sexual way. So what would they say to you? Are you crazy? What do you think? You think I'm an animal? Is that what you think I am? Are you nuts? Then you put the same person in Abu Ghraib prison, and before you know it, pictures are floating around the internet. How could it happen? It's not appropriate, not right. How could it happen? Because what is war? Yeah. War is a place where you say to somebody, you know what, normally we would say that running around killing people is not appropriate. It's not something we want for society. But we want to ask you, because of whatever reason, legitimate reason, we need you to suspend your moral compass and run around and start killing people. So, here's the problem, says the Torah. When you suspend your moral compass, it's unfair and impossible to ask somebody to suspend their moral compass in one area and one area only.
They lose all their inhibitions.
But you can. It's easy to. So to say to somebody, on the one hand, you've become an animal and begun murdering other people, other human beings, legitimately. But when it comes to sexuality, you have to remain, you know, mayala me'aber, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. So God understands that that's not the human condition. We're not robots. So says Rashi, this Yifat Tor is going to get to you. So it's not that you should take the woman as a married woman, but if you're going to succumb to the Yetzer Hara, then we're going to allow it, put it into a framework where the Torah will allow it. Why? Because you would have done it anyway. And it's not a criticism of the person that would have done it anyway, it's a reality. You have to deal with that reality, you have to face that reality, you have to address that reality. And that's exactly what the Torah does. I'll read you some of the words of the Chinuch. Chinuch follows Rashi's interpretation 100%. A second. A lot of mitzvahs in GKJ. No stories, it's a lot of mitzvahs. Umisharse ha-mitzvah. The root of this mitzvah is the Torah only permitted, like Rashi says, this mitzvah corresponding to the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. If the Torah did not permit it, then you would marry her b'iser. Because the strength of the Yetzer Hara a person had for cheshek, for this desire. Therefore, Satan hakatuv delet bifanav lahav isha be'enav. The Torah says, you know what? You're going to do it? You're going to take her? Fine. But don't do it the way you want to do it. Don't do it like an animal. Do it like a human being. Do it in the right way. Plus, if you're going to give in to your physical desires, your emotional wants, we're going to bring some of the intellect back in. I'll explain in a second. Very, very often, I would say today, most often, we're talking about this on Shabbos with Shira Smiles. Did anybody have the opportunity to hear her?
Yes.
I didn't hear her. She only speaks to women. How was she? Yeah. You know, I realized something when I saw how many women came. I realized one thing. I realized that we should do that more often. That we need to have more speakers for women, because women very often are much more comfortable hearing a women-only speaker. So we should do that more often. It was a very good experience. She's a very high caliber. Yeah, but why shouldn't we bring in more? We bring in scholars. We should bring in more for the women.
Janice
Snyder here. Yes, Janice
Snyder. There's also a Shalashud as well, and almost the same.
Oh, that's 5 o'clock. We tried to not come.
You know where it is?
In Huntington Woods. I know.
In other words.
You know what? People complain to me there's too much going on. We should only have such problems. Yeah, I understand.
Speaker there and a speaker here.
I understand. Yeah.
But it was packed.
Okay.
Where does she live in Hamilton?
Not far in. A block in, maybe? 2 blocks?
Janet is here.
Okay. So Mrs. Smiles was talking, she was at my house for lunch, and we were talking about the idea of the crisis of faith that people have. And in today's day and age, people most often don't have intellectual crises of faith. It's not that they, well, I've analyzed all the sources and I've come to a difficulty about my belief in God. It's almost always the emotional crisis. How could it be that this happened? It's a tragedy. I don't understand. I have this desire. The crisis comes not from the intellect, but it comes from the emotion. And the way to battle that crisis is to let the emotion pass and to try to bring the intellect back in. Intellectually, we all know we believe in God, we believe in His goodness, we believe in the Torah, but emotionally, it gets to us sometimes. So the key is to overcome that emotion and bring the intellect back. So therefore, says the Chinuch, therefore the Torah says, you know what? Shave her head. Why did you want her?
Oh,
she looks beautiful. Shave her head. How does she look now? How does she look now? She looks bald. Ulagadel chiparneha. Let her hair, let her nails grow. Don't let, give her any nail polish for a month. They'll be chipped, they'll be cracked, she'll be terrible. Vishi Yarshe Otel Vizkot Chodesh Rishon. Tell her to go cry for her family. She's never going to see them again. The Hakol, all of this is Maham Isa Be'enav, to make her disgusting in his eyes. Shehei Nichnas V'yotze, he's going to go in, come out, Umistakil V'afiru'e B'nivula. It's disgusting. You want that woman right now? You can have her. Tell you what, take her home. She's yours. But, hold on for a month, you'll get what you want, just hold on. And in a month's time, she still looks good to you, go for it. Let's take out that emotion though. Remember, she's not a Yisha Yafa. She's a Yafa Toar. She looks good. She describes well. What if I took away all those descriptive things about her? Beautiful hair and the dress and the makeup and the nail were perfect. Oh, take that all away. What happens when you take away the Toar? Is it Yafa? Or is it Isha? See, I'll say it in the Arabic, it's very nice, but what do we do with the Yafat Toar today? Yafat Toar, very good halakha, very important. But we don't fight wars. None of the ladies here in this year last I know have fought in a war, thank God. So how is this relevant to us? It is so relevant to all of us. Because each of us do fight in a war, in a sense.
In the single scene.
What? Nah, no, what war do we fight? Every one of us.
Yitzhara.
You got it.
Yitzhara. That's true. But I'm just
saying. Lemilchama oleidecha. You go out for war against your enemy, against the Yitzhara. Unetano Hashem alokecha biyadecha. Visharvita shivyo. He's got you captive. You got him captive. You took him. You won. You're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You're from Jew. But Raita Bashivya Eshet Yafat Toar. Can't kill the Yitzhara. Mm-hmm. Right? He's in your backpack, he's in your pocket all the time.
This is referring to a non-Jewish woman, yes.
Correct? Oh, I'm using it midrashically now, I'm sort of embellishing.
And here it's here it's not Jewish.
The Chashataba, you want that thing. How many of us were from? We know what's right, we know what's wrong. You know that it's bad for us. You know that this woman is bad for you. You know it's bad news. You're going to bring her home. You know what's going to happen? You bring this woman home. Let's say you're married 3 years. Honey, I'm home from the war. Oh, you're alive. It's great. I can't believe it. I was so nervous about you. Yeah. Meet Zelda. I picked her up on the road. You think you fought a war just now?
Christine.
All right. I was thinking of, some Arab lady today. Fatima.
Okay.
This is Fatima.
Okay, that's better.
You're right. I want you to meet her. She's going to meet your new Shara. You're not kidding. Hold on. I'll just have you. Let me finish my thought and I'll let you speak. It's okay. All of us fight that battle. Every single one of us with the Yitzhara. And he gets you on something. He gets you on something. I don't care who you are. On whatever level you're at, he gets you.
Yeah, I'll have a second scoop of ice cream.
Oh, good example of ice cream. Yeah, but Yitzhara, that's not a kosher or not kosher. So you're driving with Bloomfield, and you're passing by the Carvels.
I don't even know where it is.
The Carvels.
Archer
can just put
that on your
fabric jacket. You don't have to publicize it. Okay. This is my example. You say to yourself, oh, I haven't had Carvels in ages. I remember Carvels from the East Coast. I need Carvels. Now, the store is not under Hashgacha. The store is not. It's not kosher. But everybody knows that Carvel ice cream is kosher. So you say to yourself, you start thinking, well, it's kosher, it's
what?
Okay. Wow, it's a problem, it's just ice cream.
It's cold.
You need the Carvels. So you know, if you say to yourself, no, I'm not going to have it, Yitzhara's going to win. Mm-hmm. Brings you back too much. You say to yourself the following, you say to Yitzhara the following. Okay, you win, you can have the Carvels. You can have the Carvels in a week. Buy it, take it home, and put it in the freezer. And if you still need it in a week, then you eat the ice cream. Now let me be honest. Let's be honest.
This is
good. What? There you go. Alvaro's mano about the carbono. Because the Yetzirah had you, he said he knew that if he got you, that's how Yetzirah works. I'm going to get you, and you're going to eat the Carvel. And you know how you're going to feel after you eat that Carvel?
I'm sorry. Guilty.
You're going to feel bad. You're going to feel, that's how he works. He works on your emotion. He works and he works and he never stops. Never. And every time you open the freezer, you say, I'm not going to have that till Wednesday. By the time Monday comes around, you say to yourself, you know, I could have the Ben and Jerry's right, sitting right next to it, and it's 100% kosher. I don't have any questions. What's the difference between this and this? Why? Because you're thinking about it. Okay, that's the last thing the Yetzirah wants you to do. So it says the Torah through the Yafas Toar, the way to beat the Yetzirah, the way to win that war, is to win with the intellect over the emotion. Remove the emotion. If you can somehow find a way to remove the emotion, and you look at it intellectually, then the battle is won, because he knows he lost. He can't even argue with you. And then I just give the ice cream as a simple example. But it happens to us in so many different spheres, so many different ways, you know, so many different areas. It happens to every one of us, whether eating or, you know, or going to a movie that you probably know you shouldn't go to, or, you know, an event that you shouldn't go to, or something you shouldn't participate. We all do it. Don't say no, says the Torah. Say wait. And when you wait, then you can analyze, is it Yifat Torah? It just looks good? Or is it Yifat? It really is good. Sometimes it's fine. Sometimes that Yifat Torah really is a beautiful person. You find out afterwards. But most of the time, God knows you're going to regret it later on. And as sin goes, as we all know, You want to do something, you want to do something, you want to do something, and the moment you're done with that sinful activity, whatever it is, the moment you're done, it's not that, that was like the greatest ice cream ever. You look and you say, why did I do that? So the HR gets you twice. He got you, and now he's got you again. Now you're feeling guilty about it. You did it. Oh, no good. And you know what he says? You're right, you're no good, do it again.
Maybe I'll be back.
The next time.
Do you know anything about Cold Stone ice cream?
On the topic where I get you an ice cream, right? No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, there's a new store in Royal Oak that everybody's going to.
I love this. People come to me and say, Rabbi, everybody's going to the store. Is it kosher?
I'm wondering. I never heard of Carvel. How would I know?
Oh, Carvel.
Well, so if you're not from New York, you don't have Carvel.
Right. Carvel is from when I was growing up as a child. We all ate Carvel. Everybody went to Carvel.
There's Cold Stone. I know.
Maybe is that where the OTCBY was? On Coolidge?
No. It's on Main Street in Royal
Oak. On Main Street in Royal Oak. Yeah. It's not kosher yet. I say to people, and they ask me, can I have a Baskin Robbins? Can I have the Kaleidoscope? I said, listen, you have a store that serves you everything with a Hashgacha. So it's so fascinating. Here you have a store with a Hashgacha, but it has to go to Cold Stone in Royal Oak. Why?
Because it's the new exciting.
You know, the Gemara says, Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku.
That's right.
Stolen water is sweeter. Oh, I can get it for free, but if I steal it, that's water.
An ice cream store.
I don't get it. That Carvel is not kosher for two reasons. The ice cream, as it's produced in the factory, is produced kosher, no problem, under the Chaf Keh. The store is not kosher for two reasons. One reason is because it's owned completely Jewish, and it's open 7 days a week. So the Vod could not, in good conscience, give Hashgacha to a store that's going to be opened by Jews on Shabbos. The other problem is, what does it tell you about the cashless values of a proprietor when they're open on Shabbos? What that tells you is, Allah is not important to them. And it's not a slight. They don't care about Jewish law. So what that tells you is, comes the first time an issue comes up where they have to choose between their pocketbook or the kosher,
they're going to choose.
They choose their own pocketbook. It's a fact. It's not a criticism. It's a fact. And it has happened. Experience teaches us that it's happened over and over and over again. So instead of going 15 and go Orchard and Orchard Lake and whatever it is, come get ice cream here. But now that we have it, it's like, I've been to Dunkin' Donuts already. It's the same donut, same ice cream. It's good. So they tell me I haven't had it in a while. Okay. Next case in the Gemara. Next issue. Pasuk Yudalid. V'haya im lo chafatzta. What happens if you don't like her now? You had her? You tried her? Ah! Torah's, you know, Torah's really telling you. It's not im. What does im mean in this case?
When.
Not
if.
Correct. Not if, when. You're going to take her home. You're going to sample the goods. You're going to realize, what in the world am I doing? You'll send her home. If you can't sell her anymore. Lo titamer ba, do not enslave her, tachat asher inita, because you have afflicted her. That's human nature also. It's very interesting. Why do you hate this woman? What's that? Why do you hate her?
Because she did everything.
Nah.
But she didn't live up to your expectations.
She did. She did. She was even better. So why do you hate her?
Because she represents.
Oh, I even want to say something that behaves to her. I
was going
to
say that,
as
a voter, for example, behaves to her with the food and all the way. It really,
those fresh, those boats, they say, are disgusting. They just keep giving you food after food after food.
You know what? I didn't behave to her one because I think I did. I didn't use a cows elevator. It was there. I could have used it.
It's
much easier.
I could have
that
cows. You give you credit. Good for you. Why did you hate her? Why will he hate her? Why is it with he will hate her? She was better than he expected. The experience was sublime. So why does he hate her?
Because you're sober.
What?
You're sober. No.
And therefore?
Maybe he felt guilty.
Then she now represents everything you hate about yourself.
Well, they can't choose them, or the truth
have one. No. She now represents everything you hate about yourself. Meaning what? You lost control, and you succumbed to your Yetzirah, and she represents that thing that you succumbed to.
It's the guilt that faces you constantly.
That's right. Very often when people... You eat the ice cream. So what do you need to do after you finish the ice cream?
Bench.
What? You gotta throw it all away. Why? Because you don't want to remind yourself, you don't have it in front of you.
And you want to get rid of all the
ice. So now this woman is now the living representation of your own shortcomings.
That's what
I find very often. It's very interesting.
No.
You know, people, they recommend very often, do not have a therapist in your community. Okay. No, absolutely not. Not one that you're going to see on a regular basis. Why?
Because you're faced with
them. And your therapist, you're supposed to, by nature, tell your deepest, darkest secrets.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right? Hold on. So everything that's bad about you, that you hate about yourself, you're spilling your guts to this person. You're telling them, and you want them to help you get through it. So imagine you go to shul, and sitting next to you, or across from the kiddush, it's the guy you just told what you know, that thing, that terrible thing that you did. It's not funny. It happens. It really is sad. So you know what I'm saying? So who wants that? Nobody wants that.
They don't socialize.
It doesn't matter. It's still.
It doesn't matter. You see them. It's in front of you. You know, I found this out. It's very interesting. I found this out as a rabbi and someone who's an attorney who deals with things like this. You know, I was involved in a certain case, lo aleinu, it shouldn't happen. And then after the whole thing had resolved itself, and the couple worked out its differences, I began to feel like they were giving me the cold shoulder. So I said, What's going on? I just helped you. I saved your memory.
You were reminding them of the problems.
Not I was reminding them. Every time they see me, my face reminds them of their strife. It's frightening. It's a reality. It's a reality, yeah.
They don't correct. The kids never, I mean, I used to be friends with their parents at one time, and then when their children, something was wrong, and I would tell the parents about it, then they were angry.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's just a reality. You're going to hate this woman because she represents everything that you don't want to be. So when you send her out, what's your inclination going to be? Why?
To make some money out of
it. No.
To
get
rid of her.
What?
To get rid of her.
But to deride her. To deride her. To make her suffer. This is human nature. This is really, really human nature.
The Torah shouldn't have to do with that.
You hate yourself, so you're going to make her suffer. Because she represents that which you don't like. So therefore, I'm going to punish that which I don't like. Says the Torah, Lo tit amer ba tachat asher imita. Don't enslave her because you have afflicted her. You have a problem with yourself? Don't take it out on somebody else. Don't take it out on the other person. And this happens very often in good relationships, in good marriages. Right? You do something, you know, you're at the end of the day, you're exhausted, you have a short fuse, so you let loose. So now you let loose, and you feel terrible that you let loose. Right? But you let loose on your daughter, right? Because her room is not cleaned up. So, and then what do you do after that because the room is not cleaned up? You feel bad about yourself that you yelled at her when you shouldn't have. So then you punish her. There's a Torah, Lo tit amer ba tachat asher imita. Don't punish the person because you did the thing that was wrong.
There's many men that cheat on their wives and they still keep the woman for years and years and years.
Welcome to America.
So I mean, they don't feel bad.
You know why they don't feel bad?
No.
Because the society tells them that it's okay.
And the full community also.
Let me be honest with you. People don't come to me with their mistresses, so I don't know. I live a little assaulted life. No, I'm not. And I say it up front, I'm not a therapist. I make it very clear what I am and what I'm not. People come to me, I'm there to make value judgments. And they come. Because they know they need to hear the truth. But at the same time, I'm not their therapist. One second. I had a thought. So why do they do it? Because our society tells them that it's okay. But in our context, we're saying, I like this drasha. You're fighting the war. You're fighting the battle. You're talking about a person who really cares about what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. You know, if you don't care what God wants, if you don't care what the Torah says, then you're not going to feel bad. Because you don't have a moral compass. But we're talking about people that have a moral compass, that make the right choices, that are good people, that are shomrei Torah and mitzvos. Right? We're human. We slip up.
And they're put in unusual situations.
That's right.
And stress.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always say to people, and I think this is true. I gave a shiur, I think, a week ago in the Navi shiur. Were you here for the Navi shiur a week ago? You were.
Not this Shabbos.
The week before. The week before I left. The week before I left. Yeah, I apologize. The week before I left. And I was talking about Shaul's failing. And what I said was, and it's so true today, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that people have physical failings. God understands that we're human. And as human beings, we have failings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has difficulty appreciating or suffering when we use our intellect, our higher calling, and we've decided intellectually that we don't agree with God. You know, so, especially comes around the Shani Yom Kippur time. There's a lot of guilt flowing around. I mean, guilt. So from here till tomorrow. And I try to say to people, Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that we have shortcomings. And the reason why we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is to allow ourselves to come back to who we really want to be. To reevaluate and to say, okay, if I wasn't in the heat of the matter, if I wasn't in the heat of the argument, I would not have yelled at my husband that way. Wouldn't have yelled at my son that way. And now I can come back and look at it objectively and say, I wouldn't do that. I'm sorry. The problem comes in when a person looks back and analyzes, you know what? Good call, do it again. Back then you got real problems. then you got real problems. Then you're dealing with pervasive problems. And that's not who your fatah is. I always go along on this. Yeah.
When it gets to this point, it never does take the woman's point of view.
In this case, though, what is the woman's point of view? I could give you the woman's point of view in this specific case.
Because, I mean, this is so heavily with women and men.
In this case, what is the woman's point of view?
You tell me what you think.
No, you tell me what you think.
I feel sorry for the woman. I think she's been thrown out.
Wait, before she's thrown out. One second. She doesn't understand?
Probably not.
What is it? What doesn't she understand?
You tell me your point of view, then I'll say
it. Let me ask you this question. Why is she dressing up on the side of the road in the middle of a battlefield?
To attract a man. No. Like Butch Hollowell.
Like Butch Hollowell?
Yeah, Butch Hollowell.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Correct. You know, they always talk about Butch Hollowell. What happened to the lady?
She had to give back the $60.
She also got arrested. She also got arrested for a misdemeanor.
But she might not show up in court.
No, you know, the bottom line is nobody cares. Isn't that fascinating thing?
Yeah.
You know what the story of Butch Hollowell? You know what it is, Butch Hollowell? Butch Hollowell is a public figure. He was like an advisor to the Democratic National Committee, a very prominent lawyer. I mean, very prominent. He's married to the wife of a Free Press columnist, a very outspoken Free Press columnist. I mean,
privy and rights field. But he was going to save her.
Hold on a second.
He was going to save her.
Yeah.
He solicited her for an immoral act for $60.
Yeah,
now you say to yourself, Alenu. Let's be honest.
They didn't prove it, though.
It doesn't matter. Here's a guy. He's done. Let's assume that he did it. Let's assume that it's not all hearsay and that he wasn't stunned to help out a lonely girl, right? Here's a guy who destroyed his future for literally 5 minutes of pleasure.
Such a stupid thing.
Isn't it unbelievable? But it is exactly what we're talking about. It's the momentary emotional desire overcoming everything.
I'll go home and think about it.
You got it. I'll come back tomorrow. I'm going to go home and think about it and come back tomorrow.
Maybe he thought about it before he did it.
Yeah, well, maybe. Could have been. It's amazing. Like President of the United States? Right. But I'm saying, isn't it an amazing thing? You think Butch Hollowell didn't know about Bill Clinton?
Good example for him.
Yeah. There you go. You just said it perfectly. The heat of the moment. He started to get away with it. The heat of the moment. So what the Torah says is, you have to look it up in the newspaper. I can't help you. What the Torah says is, remove the heat of the moment. Heat is a good word in this case. Remove the heat of the moment. Think about what you're doing. The moment you think about it, you're going to say, wasn't that crazy? What about, so you asked me about the perspective of this woman. So I ask you, why did she dress up like that? How much of a victim can she be if she gets what she asks for?
Maybe she's a prostitute. Maybe that's her job. Maybe she's like this Sherman lady.
You're not kidnapping this woman. You're taking her home willingly. She doesn't have to come with you. The Torah says you want her. Fine, you can take her, but you can't take her literally then and there.
No, she's
going to bring her home. So you feel, why is she a victim?
I think so.
Why? She might be a victim of war, but she's making a choice about how to deal with it.
She's a victim.
Correct. But, you know, we all have, I'm sorry, we have some war refugees here, and they didn't do that. That wasn't how they decided they're going to make their meal ticket.
I think she's a sympathetic character in the whole story. Did you
just start
that? Well, I
do. Okay.
That was her life. That was her business.
That was her business? You feel bad for her?
I don't know. She was
an entrepreneur. Yes, right. Oh, I'm sorry. You've lost me. You're already way too liberal for me. You're way too liberal.
I guess we kind of assume that a woman in a war situation would go into hiding. She wanted to save her virtue. She would try to save her family.
You would assume
she
that.
That's what I'm saying. You assume that
she was doing it. She was doing it to bring money home.
She believed in coming. I doubt it.
Where is this coming from? This country is an amazing country. You know,
that's
an amazing thing. Okay. Pasuk Tezvav. Ki tiyena le'ish shtei nashim. A man has two wives. Achas ahuva ve'achas sinua. He loves one wife and hates the other wife.
Why does he marry just one to hate?
V'yaldu lo banim, and he has children. Ha'ahuva ve'ha'sinua. The beloved wife and the hated wife. V'haya ha'ben ha'bechor la'sinia.
He's still the bechor though.
How did you get to this hated wife sin? How did you get there? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi back on the la'kachta l'sali isha. Rashi, the first column, fourth line. Lo dibra Torah ella kineged yetzer hara. We already saw this, right? The Torah spoke corresponding to the yetzer hara. Sheim ein hakadosh baruch hu makira. If God doesn't permit her, yisa ena beisur, and you'll marry her forbidden. Aval im nasha. But if he marries her, shofo lishona. You will hate her. Shenemar, as it says. Acharav ki tiyena le'ish. What's the very next pasuk? You think they're not connected, these two mitzvos? You take the isha tifat toar and you marry her, you go through with it, you're going to be stuck with her. And you're going to have kids with her. And you're going to hate her. The shofar lehi leholid mimena ben sarer moret. And what do you think the children are going to be of this wonderful, beautiful relationship that you have with her?
You won't like them either, them too.
Well, let me put it this way. It's not that you hate them more than they hate you. Why do they hate you?
Because you're not as nice to their mother.
Right, because you hate their mother. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder, why am I in this situation? It's an amazing thing. A momentary lapse leads to a consequence. Which leads to a consequence, which leads to a consequence. And when the situation has snowballed totally and completely out of your control, and you ask God, why God, why do I have so much sharas, why? Kadosh Baruch Hu looks back at you and says, don't ask me why. You tell me why. How often does that happen? That people complain to you about their sharas that are products of their own choices?
Well, prisons are
open. Okay. Yeah. It's sometimes it's easy to try. Sometimes it's not so clear. And you can't, I don't want to belittle people's terrors, but sometimes it's easy to see. And everybody sees it except
for them.
Pasuk Zayin, V'haya b'yom hanchilo es banav eis asher yiyeh lo. And when the time comes to inherit the things to your children, to the children that you have, lo yuchal levaker et ben ahuva al pei pnei ben hasinua habachor. Don't marry, don't give favor to the bachor of the one you love over the one that you don't love simply because
you like her.
Rather, ki ata bachor ben hasinua yachir, you must recognize the bachor of the hated one. He gets double. Ki hu reishit ono. He is the initial vigor. Lo mishpat habachora. Very interesting. What I think the Torah is saying is conveying a very important lesson. If you're going to follow through on your mistakes, if you're going to make a mistake, you better be ready to follow through with the consequences of that mistake. We live in a world, and it's absolutely true today, it's absolutely true, where people want to do what they want to do, but then they don't want to deal with the consequences. Then they want to pretend that the consequences never happen. The classic example in Jewish life is the idea of mamzer. Right? The Torah says that if a man and a woman engage in an illicit relationship where the woman is married, the product, the offspring, is a mamzer. So the classic question people ask is, that's not fair.
Not fair to the
child. Yeah. Why is God punishing the child for something the parents did? The answer is, God's not punishing the child. Who punished that child?
Parents.
The parents who made that child punish the child. The mamzer is a reality, is an offspring that they created. And now you want to go around and turn around and say, that's not fair? Well, if you had listened in the first place, then it wouldn't be a situation of fair or not fair. But instead, in today's society, we live in a world when our compassion runs so amok that people don't want to deal with the consequences of their own behaviors. And then they complain that the punishment is too harsh, that the reality is too harsh, or the situation is too harsh. You know, you have a parent who raised a child spoiling him or her their entire life. And they come to you and say, I don't understand, my child is spoiled perhaps. What can you do to help me?
You did it.
What can I do to help you? Why were you doing that your whole life? Well, they didn't want enough to have. You mean, here's why you did it. In order for you not to feel guilty, you spoiled the child. And who did you hurt? You didn't hurt you. You hurt them. Right? That's really why you did it, so you wouldn't feel guilty. Now all of a sudden you want to turn it around? No, there are consequences. You have to deal with the consequences. And sometimes those consequences are so deeply ingrained that they're not undoable. There's no backspace. You just have to...
Child.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, she's marked for life.
Well, how about the child of the hated wife? You had a child. That's what life is. Isn't that what life is now? People make choices, and there are consequences of the choices that they make. And then they want to, in America especially, they want to wash their hands. Yeah, I'm going through a midlife crisis. I'm going through a bad time now. So I can't really deal with this now, and I'm gonna get a new wife. I'm gonna get a new wife and a new family and a new life. Right, because it's not about responsibility. It's about whatever good for you right now. That's right. The lesson really is, though. That you got to think about the consequences before you make that initial choice.
Why does
it take
one of some beloved wife when if one is so beloved with her husband anymore, why would he need to pick up someone else?
Look at your sheet.
Look at your
sheet. Yeah, you know, don't look at it so literally. Look at it in terms of choices.
Yes, right.
You know what I'm saying? We all have the beloved wife and the not beloved wife, in a sense. You know, we do. We have the friends that we like and the friends that we don't like. We have the relationships that we enjoy and the relationships we don't enjoy. All products of choices that we've made. It's absolutely true. We have organizations we like, organizations we don't like, and we're stuck with all of them. You can't just bow out. And we look at America, for example, right? We're stuck in Iraq. Does anybody want to be in Iraq?
No.
Right? So what should we do? Pick up and leave. Why can't you pick up and leave? Because there are consequences to going and attacking before you really think about what's going to be. And now we're suffering the consequences. So you say, why? Says the Midrash. Ki tiyana le'ish tein nashim. Al mi rama sakasuv pasuk zeh. What is the Torah hinting to in this pasuk? Al amar rabbi barachia. Top line, end of line, the first size. Ish zeh Yaakov. Don't think that people are exempt from making difficult choices. So Amar v'Yaakov Ish Tam. Yaakov is described as an Ish. Shtei Nashim, who has two wives, Rachel v'Leya. Ha'achat Ahuvazu Rachel. The beloved is Rachel. Tichti v'yehav dam et Rachel. V'ha'achat Shnu'a z'Leya. Tichti v'kishnu'a Leya. V'yaldu lo banim ha'uva v'hasnu'a. Shtehem yaldu lo. Ma'shehem yida Leya. And Midah Rachel. What Leah accomplished? Rachel accomplished. Leah Amidah Melachim, Rachel Amidah Melachim. Leah Amidah Neviim, Rachel Amidah Neviim. Each one, she established her own thing. But I learned from this Midrash, interestingly enough, is you say to yourself, oh, you know, what kind of guy would make a bad choice and fall into that pitfall of having a beloved wife and not having a beloved wife? So I think what the Midrash is trying to say is, you think that you're above that, making that mistake?
Even Yaakov.
But he
didn't make. Maybe he didn't like Leah because he was tricked.
Let me ask you this question.
Does it matter?
Let me ask you a second question. In hindsight, should he have married Rachel after he married her sister?
In those days, they had more than one wife.
Correct.
One,
oh, yeah, but without two sisters? What about two sisters? What about marrying two sisters? Right? The Torah says it's necessary to marry two sisters. So Yaakov Avinu was before the Torah, no problem, right? Let me ask you a question. If you would ask somebody, you know, in the at Adam Arishon's time, what do you think about marrying two sisters? What would he tell you? You don't know? Marry two sisters. What do you think about that?
Well, they only have one.
Horrible idea.
What?
Horrible.
Not a good idea. I think common sense is not a good idea. Right? Except, there's a situation you found yourself in. So understand, you find yourself in a situation, there are going to be consequences. You have to deal with those consequences, address them, not shirk them, says the Torah. You can't shirk your consequences and responsibilities. You have to address them and understand that they're there. So we see as a progression, we didn't have time to get to the Ben Sarah or Mora. It's also a product of consequences.
Ben
Shor or Mora? No, but the again, I'm not talking about the specific, but I'm talking about the lesson to be learned. That's certainly applicable. In fact, the Torah says that it never happened. The Gemara says it never happened. So it's there to teach us a lesson. Mm-hmm. All these mitzvahs are here to teach us a lesson. The lesson of the intellect over the emotion. And the lesson of accepting consequences. But even more than accepting consequences, knowing that they're going to be there is more important. And to ask yourself, as the Mishnah says, Ezehu ha-chacham, haroa es ha-nolad. What are the consequences of this behavior going to be? If a Talalot had asked himself that question, he wouldn't be in the hot water he was in. Right? So each of us has our own moments when we can ask ourselves, what are the consequences? The first time, and the second time, and the third time might not be consequences. You think this is the first time for him, by the way?
No.
No way.
I said he probably got away with it so much.
Yeah. That's
so,
right.
The first time you rob the bank, that's right. So it's real hard.
The hard part.
The third time is really.
The hard part is the hard. That's what Yitzhak says to you. The hard part is using your intellect to say, you know what? I know sooner or later it's going to go bad. What are the consequences going to be? And how can I address them to prevent them from even happening? A lot to think about as the month of Elul rolls on.